Carolyn.
And I'm Bethany.
And we are
Sisters in Song.
Tonight we have the pleasure of welcoming Maya DeVitri to the show.
She's coming out with her fifth full-length album in July. We can't wait to talk to her about it.
Looks like it will be on vinyl, too. Gotta love that. Here's a little bit more about Maya. Originally from the green rolling hills of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, DeVitri is a Nashville-based artist whose music blurs the lines of folk, indie rock, and Americana. With a voice that glides effortlessly between tenderness and strength, her performances radiate with presence, spontaneity, and soul. An admirer of the dedicated song craft of writers like John Prine, Gillian Welch, and Townes Van Zandt, and out of the stirring vocals of artists like Bonnie Raitt and Nina Simone, Maya DeVitri's music invites listeners into a space of openness and connection.
Energized by the spontaneity of live performance and revelatory pursuit of truth in her lyric writing, Maya DeVitri returns with her fifth full-length album, All My Faith, prioritizing presence and grit over studio polish. She sounds joyously at home in the alt-country and indie folk realms.
Hey, listeners, Sisters in Song is brought to you by Pink Whisk Confections, our sponsor. Small batch scratch cookies, cheesecakes, and other desserts are available upon request. Custom orders for color and flavor are welcome anytime. Cookies are $15 for a box of 8 cookies and are individually packaged within the box. You can DM at Pink Whisk Confections on Instagram for placing all your orders. Make sure you use the code Sisters in Song Podcast for 5% off your first order. And you can also get these gluten-free. So anybody out there who has a gluten intolerance, you can ask for a special gluten-free order. Go check it out. I'm not kidding you. These are probably the best cookies you'll ever eat.
Welcome to Sisters in Song. Can you take a minute and tell us who you are and where you're coming to us from?
Yeah, my name is Maya DeVitri, and I live in Nashville, Tennessee. So I'm home in my very messy office right now. That lots of things in motion between the closet and the floor with getting ready to ship out a bunch of CDs and vinyl because I'm my own record label. So I have all of the stuff in this room.
Oh my gosh. So you're just packed in there.
Yes. Yeah, yes, packed in. So
it's a great problem to have, right?
Yes.
So tell us about this album. We're excited to talk about it.
Cool. Yeah, it's coming out in July. It was all written last year in 2025, so it feels really good to put something out that's so fresh. Like most of it was written between April and November of that one year, and just in a, I don't know, kind of a creative burst at the end of a lot of touring. And I did a residency in Texas that kind of gave me some space to get quiet and still and you know, work on some new material in April of that year. And then I drove my minivan out west and was really influenced by some of the nature and out there, just the mountains and canyons, did a river rafting trip. Just like different things that seemed to kind of weave the rest of the songs together for me. And yeah, did some writing at my campsites or sort of tailgating in the back of my van. And so all that really influenced like the imagery of the album cover and some of the themes and things like that. Yeah.
So fun. Where did you go whitewater rafting? Was it whitewater rafting?
Yeah, it was the Gates of Lodore, which is up in the corner of Colorado into Utah. An amazing experience. I was on this trip with my friend Mimi Naja, who is in a band called Fruition, and she also has a solo record out and plays under her own name. But she and I were the musical guests on the river. So it was like a women's only rafting trip, actually. So all of the people were women, the raft guides, the people like, you know, managing these huge, huge boats, it was all women. And that was really inspiring to be in this remote river canyon for 4 days and, you know, set up camp along the riverbank. And then Mimi and I would play concerts, totally acoustic.
That's so
at night,
cool.
Like Yeah, it was an amazing experience. So there are a few songs on the record that I actually started writing like in that canyon.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm so jealous. Yeah. I got to be on the trip.
Me too. I have to do that.
Yeah, you could do it. You could do it. They do it every year. Yeah.
Wow, so cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back in time. How did you get started in music to begin with?
I got started, I mean, my family loves music. Like my parents really valued music, and my dad plays a couple different instruments, like guitar, fiddle. He's like totally self-taught, doesn't read music at all, but just in the kind of acoustic string band music tradition, like picked it up and learned fiddle tunes. And some of his siblings play music, and my mom, it has a great voice. She's a great singer. She's a little more shy about doing it in front of people regularly. My dad will like grab the guitar and like, you know, there's he would jam. He would jam with anybody all day long.
Love it.
But yeah. So, and I'm the oldest of four kids, and my dad's mom, my grandmother, she gave all of us piano lessons when we were little. So we would start with her when I think we had to be seven before she would teach us. She's like, kids don't sit still very well before they're seven. So that was her rule. But we all experienced some lessons with her and then continued that. I took violin lessons in elementary school and kept that up all the way through middle school and high school, played in the orchestra. Was pretty serious about violin in high school, like did orchestra auditions and stuff to be in like regional orchestra or state orchestra, things like that.
Oh, cool.
So that was that's all up in Pennsylvania. And then, but along with that was enjoying traditional music, fiddle music, learning music by ear, things like that, by going to different music festivals with my family, with my parents. They would take us up to Gray Fox Bluegrass Festival in upstate New York. I like distinctly remember doing the Kids Academy one year at Gray Fox Bluegrass Festival, where the teachers taught us how to sing a harmony to Red River Valley.
And oh wow.
Bury Me Beneath the Willow. I mean, there's nothing like teaching a bunch of like 10-year-olds how to sing Bury Me Beneath the Willow, right? in the great bluegrass tradition.
Oh my gosh.
So, cool. And then we'd go down to West Virginia to this other festival called the Appalachian String Band Music Festival. It's the kind of festival where people gather and mostly jam at their campsites. There's no like, it's like the absolute opposite of like Bonnaroo or something, you know, where there's big headliners and famous people and lots of lines and security. It's like none of that. It's just people jamming at their campsites and maybe learning a tune by ear from somebody at the neighboring campsite, wandering around. Very, very rustic kind of setting.
It sounds heavenly.
Yeah, it
definitely I mean my childhood was really, really steeped in music as a place of gathering and hanging out, like a way to socialize, you know. It was such a good foundation, I think, for you know, making a life in music, and but also staying grounded in music, that for me is the core of it and the heart of it. Like it doesn't, that community, that the friendships that I have, and the intergenerational friendships that I had even as a kid, like going to those music festivals and learning a fiddle tune, like learning a waltz from my Uncle Chris on the fiddle, like, you know, just that, those kinds of connections, that's really what it was all about, and still what it's about to me, and it keeps me grounded in why I'm doing it.
What an amazing experience, and to learn from people who, you know, are not only just family, but also just that become your good friends, and you just, I mean, the experience of that just makes me like get the goosebumps.
I know. So
We've actually been hearing your name for a while, so we're very excited to have you on the show. We talked with Shelby Means not that long, so about a year ago now.
Oh,
and she had mentioned
cool.
you
Awesome.
want to have Maya on the show too. So tell us, how do you see a song from start to finish? Like, how does that process work for you?
To see a song from start to finish? Yeah, well, that's a great question. I actually just I just did a writing day yesterday. I haven't been in a writing mode lately. I've been much more doing a lot of gardening and I've been working on all the behind the scenes stuff for this new record. I've just been in a different mode. But yesterday I set aside a day and I thought I ought to have a writing day because I kind of forget what that's like. And it was good. It reminded me that a lot of my process is to just, I really feel like a song, like the start of a song, like on any given day, I could start a song, like, but the song that I started yesterday, it's different than the song I could have started today or the song I could start tomorrow. So it's just kind of like meeting, it's like the river is flowing and you just like go and whatever specific leaf is like on that river that day, you kind of pick the leaf out and it could just be like what's on your mind, what's maybe a conversation I just had, like, but it's something very much of that moment. I can't return to it. So any day that goes by that I'm not writing, I'm just like, that's fine. Like the leaves just keep going down the river and it's fine. I don't need to collect them all. Why would I need to start every song or finish every song? Like somebody else will find them downstream. So it's just like, okay, yesterday I started picked some leaves up, started some songs, and I didn't finish anything yesterday, but I did start some things that surprised me. I was like, wow, I didn't know I was thinking about that, or I didn't know that would come out, or where did that come from? I just got a very small little keyboard that I could travel with. And so I did a little playing on the keyboard and that was fun. I don't usually write on a keyboard. So that was fun. But then to see a song like from start to finish, I was even thinking today, I was like, should I open those songs up again? Like, should I look at them? I thought, no, I'm going to give it another day. I think I'm going to open them up tomorrow and just see what, you know, sort of how I react to what is there. And sometimes I'll just feel magnetically like attracted to certain parts of the song and feel like this is really exciting. This line feels really like vibrant, or this part doesn't really feel, I don't know, maybe I felt something when I first wrote it, but it's not, I don't know. It's kind of like it, I'll take the parts of it that are most exciting to me or most kind of that I'm most curious about, like, where does this go? And then I'll write a little more and kind of, it's like I'm in conversation with that initial idea. And sometimes it moves very, very far away from that initial idea. And sometimes it's quite close by the end, but it's a lot of, I think for me, the process is a lot of revisiting over time. And I wasn't totally, I'm glad I actually had that writing day yesterday, because I wouldn't have had a very good answer for you without it. I would have been like, I don't actually know. It's been a really long time since I wrote a song.
That's funny.
But now it's coming back to me. And then it's, and I actually have been teaching songwriting workshops sometimes on Zoom to a lot of like people who are on my newsletter, my mailing list and social media and stuff. And so it's been really fun. I've had to really question a lot of my process and find ways to explain certain ways that I think about it and to help people find different, and everybody writes, you know, in a different way, but just if I can give some people some tools, they appreciate it. And so, yeah, I think for me, it's very much, it's actually a lot of attention. Like by the time it was like 3 p.m. yesterday, I was like, man, like I need a break. Like it's, I've just been kind of trying to stick with these. I mean, to stick with an idea for hours is actually really exhausting, and like see where that idea goes. Like you need a break. You need to go do something else. You need to go check on the garden or eat a sandwich or take a walk. But I think that's the part for me that is always a little challenging to communicate for people that it's actually like, it's like carrying wood or something. Like you actually have to like keep, if you want the whole song, the whole wood pile, like you actually have to keep going back and getting another thing and carrying it back and then carrying it back and stacking it up and rearranging it a little bit so that you can eventually put the tarp over it and say that you're done.
And it's done. Yeah. I would love to know in a couple of days when you go back to the songs, like what you're drawn to. That's I'd love to hear about this process.
Me too.
So,
I know.
I'm really glad you shared that.
Now I say, let's get on our mailing list.
Me
and
too.
We can take some classes.
Yes.
Yeah. I love you to can. Do that. Please do. Yeah, please do. It's on Substack. You can just search my name and find it there. And I'm trying to really get my mailing list to be one of the more primary ways I communicate with people, because it actually goes right to people in their inbox, you know, with social media and like Instagram and things like at Facebook. It only goes to like a handful of people that happen to be scrolling that day.
Unless you seek it out.
So I'm trying to it's a hard pivot to make, because I've had the mailing list the whole time I've, you know, been a solo artist, but it's a hard pivot because the social media is just so addictive and so like just think of it as this easy way to, you know, oh, share this thing. But I am trying to it's an intention that I have I haven't successfully like fully pivoted over there, but but I do send something out at least like once a month.
I feel like that seems like much more useful time spending than like you said, than just scrolling. And maybe you'll see something you like, but seems more intentional. I like that.
Well, and more personal too.
Yeah,
there's a personal connection there with the artist and with you. And I love that.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. And the songwriting workshops have been amazing because it's on Zoom and I cap it at 10 people. So each one. So it's like so cool to interact with my listeners in that way. Like people who there, I have so many fans, so many listeners who have been following my music for years, but they are songwriters themselves, like great songwriters. And it's so cool to hear their songs and hear their ideas. And sometimes they have really good ideas to share with the other people in the group. And it's really satisfying, like creatively, you know. It's not like a very flashy thing to do. It's like, oh, let's get on Zoom just like in the pandemic. but lately people on Zoom, they've been like, can we do this in person? Could we have like a retreat or a camp or something? I'm like, I would like to do that. So that would be the next level up for me, would be to figure out how to pull that off, how to do it in person, because that would be really awesome. Just be able to sit around the campfire with people and hear people's songs.
Would beginners fit into this?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay. I'm ridiculously excited that you're talking about this. I hope you know.
Oh, cool.
Hey musicians, are you looking for quality live show photos to highlight your work? Look no further than Summer Lee. Summer specializes in concert photography and she's booking now in the Chicago and Nashville areas. She also travels and is tour ready. Find her on Instagram at summerlee.photo or Facebook at Summer Lee Photo. Hit her up on DM for rates and availability. Summer shot for us at Americana Fest last September and we can guarantee that she is the real deal and a true professional.
I don't know. I just feel like making more chances for everybody to participate in music, you know, like not just people who it's like our career to stand on stage or a career to like put records out. You know, I just feel like the divide, it's because of how I grew up, you know, and the way that music was like, okay, everybody plays and there's no like diploma to be able to do this. Like, I just think there's this like huge gap and where, you know, maybe you get to sing in a chorus in high school or a lot of people get to sing in church. But if you don't have that outlet, like where do you get to play music? Where do you get to make music with people? And there's a few summer camps that, you know, are for adults to play, you know, to learn fiddle and guitar and banjo and songs and stuff like that. So that's a cool thing that I've gotten to be a part of a little bit, but I kind of want to double down on it because I feel like it's a missing piece in our culture or something to be able to share music, you know.
Just amazing.
It's full circle for you.
Yeah.
That's how you grew up.
Yeah. Yeah, like we're back at the campfire.
I love it.
Well, and we grew up camping a lot too. Yes, so I'm there. I'll go to this retreat.
Me too.
And are you sisters?
We are.
Yes.
That's so cute.
We truly are.
We are.
We write so lyrics sweet. Together. We're learning guitar, but we are
slow.
It's clunky slow.
It's fun. It's slow.
You know, we have day jobs, so we have to find time to practice and just need to find more time to practice.
Well, and have the discipline. We're not always the most disciplined.
But it's fun.
So I think it's your question to do it. Finally,
go. I was actually going to go on the opposite vein and say, what do you do if you get writer's block or if you feel stuck with writing? How do you get yourself out of that?
I think I just go do something else and not stress about it, because I really think that ideas for me can, I guess I feel more like even when the song is already started, like I mentioned yesterday, I'm just kind of trying to come back to it with some kind of sense of conversation, like ask a question of what's there. Like, well, what happened before that? Or kind of like, a little piece of the song. Like, how do you feel about that? But if it's like a totally blank page and if nothing is coming out and I'm totally starting from scratch, I would probably just not stress about that and go sit at a cafe. If I was like, I must write a song today, because like a lot of times it's like, I don't feel like I have to write the song that day. So, it's more like I have a phone full of voice memos of just little song ideas that I have to like play catch up and be like, I'll go and listen through and be like, okay, here's 50 ideas. Which one is the most exciting? Because I can't finish them all. I just have to finish my favorite one that day. So if I got to a point, you know, where I was completely blank, which I'm sure will happen in my life at some point, I would probably just go eavesdrop on people talking.
And I love it.
That usually, like I work a very occasional catering gig right now where I work at weddings, and man, like I started writing a song like into my voice memos on my phone, like on the way home from the catering gig, because I overheard so many funny things and just started like singing some of the things I heard people say. And so that, like, I just feel like there's music and song ideas happening all around us. And it's less of writer's block in like having zero ideas to pull from. I think I could see more me getting fatigued of finishing things. Like, I think that's more like getting the 2/3 of the way through of an idea and maybe having like one verse or two verses and a chorus and being like, oh, it's just not finished. Like, I need one more verse because there's something missing, and like basically puzzling. And that happens to me a lot with a song where I'll be like, okay, it's 2/3 of the way or it's 3/4 of the way, and I know it's not actually done. Usually when I actually finish a song and I'm like, that's it. Like I physically get chills. Like I'll be like, there's some like physical indicator to me where I'm just like I'll play through the whole thing and I'm like,
ah! Oh my God.
I'm like, whoa, oh my gosh. Like, cause it affects me in some way. Like, it's just like, and I'm looking for that like signal of the thing that songs do to me. Like, I want to feel it from the song, and I want to feel that like emotional like zinginess, and I won't quit until I feel that. But sometimes I'll quit for like months I'll quit for 6 months and leave something laying there, and I'll open it back up 6 months later and be like, oh, based on this conversation I overheard yesterday, I kind of have an idea about this third verse now. So I think it's just like being patient with it and not necessarily rushing it, like not forcing it to be done. Not feeling any pressure. Like, I think just like, yeah, just being open. I think the initial like total writer's block of like, I have nothing to write about, I think is not as easy for me to relate to, but it's the stamina, I think, that really I find trips people up also, because like, I think it's that thing of like carrying the logs to see the woodpile thing that is very, I believe, unexpected about the creative process to people. Like, maybe people think that I have this ability now to just like receive a song from some mystical channel and it just pours out of me, and like the verses are all in the right order and the chorus is perfect, and I just have this like magical place I go where the songs just come out and are born like whole. And it's not like that at all. It's like a Mr. Potato or something, where I'm just like, this arm actually goes up here.
Like, I'm working for this, people. Yes. A magic thing.
Well, and I think if you liken it to like a painting, I mean, you're doing layer after layer after layer after layer.
Yeah.
And so it's not just like you come in and you're like, oh, canvas is done.
Yeah.
So I think totally you talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think people can be really hard on themselves when they just sit down and they think it's supposed to happen like in some linear way. Like, I'm just supposed to have the perfect first line. And then I just, the perfect second line. And then, now I must write the chorus. Like, there's plenty of times when I end up writing the chorus and I'm like, the first verse is actually better. The first verse, this one line in the first verse, I actually need to abandon this chorus and turn that into a chorus, because that is the heart of the song. Or maybe I get to the last verse and I finally get to the heart of the song, and I'm like, that's actually, this is now, I put this song away and I take that one line and I move it, new page. And, you know, so it's a process. And I think that part of it, that's the part that's so amazing to me, though, because you don't know when you enter into it. Like these songs I started yesterday, this conversation I started kind of having with my thoughts and where I'm at and life, and started having, you know, some drafts of songs and some early lyrics, but I don't know what those are going to become. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's so exciting, because it's like the time between, you don't know what it's going to become, and you don't know what, you know, what's going to be. And that's what's so amazing. It's, and every song, like, it's a different, it goes somewhere different and unexpected, and I don't really know where it's going. And sometimes I'm deliberating about a certain word or a phrase until the very last minute. Like, I was changing words up until the week before we recorded the record.
Wow.
I would like send an updated lyrics to Joel and Shelby and be like, okay, actually it's going to be this word and that verse.
That's fantastic.
That is.
That's the creative process.
Yeah, so that's the magic.
Something,
right?
Become something,
yep.
You know, making it become a song. I just love talking about this
stuff. Oh, me too.
It's just so fascinating to hear
how
everybody's process is so different, and how it's organic, and how some people are just like, no, I don't, I just write when I feel like it. And some people are like, I write every single day.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy how, and then they all come up with something awesome. So
that's right. Right.
We have to take a minute to thank our sponsor, Brought Farm Designs. Brought Farm Designs offers the most adorable, handmade, washable, durable cat and dog bandanas and collar scrunchies. Our dogs look absolutely ravishing in theirs. Don't you want your dogs and cats to look as cool as ours? The coolest thing is that they hook onto the collar, so you don't have to worry about them falling off or worry about them ending up in someone's mouth. They are perfect and they are adorable. Did I say they're adorable? Go to BF Designs 7, that's BF DESIGNS7 on Instagram and send them a message and save 10% off your first order with the code SistersInSong. Our dogs wholeheartedly approve.
So totally random and off topic, but do you feel like there's someone that was maybe an inspiration for you? I mean, obviously growing up in the campgrounds and doing all of that was inspiring, but was there like an artist that made you say, I want to do this as a career?
The thing I really specifically remember is I was listening to Townes Van Zandt, and it was his song, To Live Is to Fly. And I don't know what it was, but that song hit me in this way. I was about 18 or 19 at the time. I had dabbled in writing, maybe had written like one or two songs. I had written some tunes on the fiddle and some melodies and things, like little pieces on the piano. Composed a little piece in music theory class in high school. But that song, it just hit me at like just the right moment, just the right landscape that I was in when I was hearing it. It something clicked, and I just thought, I want to try to do this. And so it was very specific and very much like a message or something. And I never looked back.
Hey. Such a cool experience. Again, I have goosebumps.
I know.
So I want to ask, now the album's coming out in what, a little over a month. What is next after that? Are you touring the album? Will there be a big party for the release? What's all in the works?
Yeah, I'm going to tour it. So the touring kind of picks up right away. I'm actually, the day it comes out, I'll be leaving a songwriting camp that I'm teaching at up in upstate New York. That'll be a fun place to wake up on the album release day. Yeah. It's the Milk Carton Kids have a camp.
Oh,
that
cool.
They have. So I'll be there, and then in early August I'll be out in Colorado for Rocky Mountain Folks Fest.
Nice.
Which will be really fun. And I'm playing a few shows in August, and then touring gets really busy in September. So September, October, November, it's basically like move into the minivan and hit the road.
Packed full of fun. Awesome. Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully we'll see you in the Midwest.
Yeah. Yeah. I have, what part, where are you?
We're in Omaha.
Omaha. I got to get out there.
Yes. Come see us.
Oh, cool. It's been a long time since I've been there. That's cool. All right. All right, we'll talk about that spot. I'd love to. Yeah, and then just more touring next year too. Just, you know, taking the music everywhere I can, and in intimate listening spaces, and getting to tell the stories and share about it. It's very fulfilling. And I'm so excited about this record in particular and the songs on it. So I think it's going to be fun to play those shows.
Awesome. Can't wait to hear it.
I can't too.
And we got a lot of little, cute, little intimate places here.
It's true.
We would love to have you come to
Omaha.
Cool. All right.
Should we do rapid fire?
Let's do rapid fire.
All right.
You go for it.
Okay. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Vinyl, cassette, CD, or streaming?
Oh, vinyl.
Us too. Yeah. First album you ever bought?
I think it was a Nickel Creek CD.
Oh, very cool. I love them. What's your go-to, if you have one, karaoke song?
I don't really have one, but I did just learn the Shania Twain song, You're Still the One. So
that's what it would be. Go-to song.
It's my new go-to.
Writing at night or in the morning, or maybe all day for you?
I'd say 50-50, morning and night. Probably, I'm kind of like an afternoon slump kind of person, so
All
not all
time.
day. I need the
Yeah.
break.
Yeah. I
I feel
need that
crazy.
garden time.
That's right.
Do you write lyrics on paper, phone notes, or voice memos?
All of those. Yeah, I'd say a 33.33% split.
That's great. Perfect. Do you have a pre-show pump-up song?
Oh, no, I don't necessarily listen to a song before shows. That would be fun
That's it. Dogs, cats, fish, or birds?
though. I like dogs that I know. I don't really like dogs that I haven't had a chance to meet in a controlled environment.
Yeah, that's
I've had a few like frightening experiences with dogs that I don't know, but in general, I love dogs.
fun. Okay, describe your sound in three words.
Reflective squash blossom.
Love that.
I love
What advice would you give to new musicians and/or songwriters?
I would just say to try to learn to trust yourself, whatever that means. Trust your own timing and your own path.
Perfect. Very good advice. Okay, we'd love to have you share a song. Can you tell us what it is and a little bit about it?
Sure. Let's see. Let's do the song Nobody Else, which is from the new record, and it starts the B side on the vinyl. And it's a song that's made me a better partner. It holds me accountable to try to get through arguments with more grace.
Love,
That's
love
my
it. I
answer.
obviously need to listen to this song, so thank you for sharing it. Yeah, thank you very much for sharing.
If I die first, you wrap me up in a soft fleece blanket. There's nobody else, babe. There's nobody else. I don't know what happened back there in the kitchen. nobody else, babe. There's nobody else. Is the price of feeling so at home that I take you for granted? There's nobody else, babe. There's nobody else. I'm sorry I got so angry.
And we are now going to ask you for your shameless plug. Where can we find all of your music? Do you have a website?
Well, don't share the website because we're going to join the mailing list right away.
Tell us what it. Tell our listeners what it is, and then social media and all of that stuff.
Yeah. So the website is mayadevitri.com, and I have the mailing list. That there's a link or a box you could fill out to join that on the website. And you could also search on Substack, Maya Devitri. You'll find me there. Join that. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. Those are the only two social medias I have. I don't do TikTok or anything
probably
else like that.
To. Well, I guess we have a TikTok, but we don't do it
but,
very often.
But yeah, but join the newsletter. That's the one thing. Because I always send updates about my tour schedule and the important stuff. That's if there's one way to stay in touch, that is it.
Awesome. Well, Maya, thank you so much. This has been such a wonderful conversation and so fantastic to meet you.
Yeah, I'm so thrilled.
Nice to meet you too.
Best of luck with the album.
Oh my gosh,
and all the awesome things coming up. We can't wait. We're going to be ordering it on vinyl because we're also vinyl people.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome.
That was amazing.
I mean, here we are. I'm super excited, as per usual.
Yes.
But that was just so much fun talking with Maya. What a very cool experience.
I loved how she kind of likened things to nature. And, you know, she was talking about the wood pile and the leaves. And then writing in nature. That's what you need to go out
writing day. I was like, oh, yes. I want to do that. So much fun.
We'll definitely be joining the mailing list and hopefully taking some classes.
And listeners, you should too. So Maya, thank you so much. We are stoked about the new album and we hope you make it to the Midwest and see you down the road. Thanks for listening to Sisters in Song. Follow us on all social media platforms at Sisters in Song Podcast and follow us wherever you stream your podcasts. If you like our show, please like and follow us on all of your social media. Please feel free to share.